Hello, everyone. This is Al from the CCW Podcast. Welcome to episode 3. Today, I am pleased to have a special guest, my lovely wife, Dagny.
Hey, everybody.
She beat me to it. I was going to say hello. But this episode is going to be a conversation with my wife, and we're going to talk a little bit about her experiences as a newbie shooter. So, Dagny, let's start with your previous experience, or lack thereof, in the firearms and shooting.
Well, I am 29, soon to be 30, and I had never shot any kind of firearm until this last fall. I went to an event that was kind of geared towards women, although men were able to be there as long as they basically weren't jerks trying to tell the women that they were there with how to do it better. And that was a really good event, a little bit of a sampling of some different guns. And
do you remember what calibers you shot?
I shot 22.
Yeah. How'd you do
with the handgun, not a long rifle. The 22 was great. That was where they started you if you'd never shot anything. Mm-hmm. And I actually got a bullseye on my second bullet in that gun. So that started me off with some confidence. And then, of course, it got worse with the larger calibers and more kick in the handguns I tried. I think there were some 9mm.
Yeah, you shot a Smith & Wesson M&P. And maybe, I know I shot the Springfield. I don't know if you ended up shooting that one. But you did really well with all of them, except you didn't like the revolver. You didn't like the little snub-nose revolver.
Right, the last revolver I did. Yeah. It was very painful. My thumbs, my wrist really hurt after firing that firearm. Yeah.
That's too bad because I really want a revolver. So, other than that shoot, when was the last time you have you shot any other time?
No, not until the range on Monday.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that. We went up to the range. The gun store, which also has a range right next to it, and we got a chance to rent some firearms. They have a very, very large section of rentals, and we got a chance to test out three of the better 380 semi-automatic pistols. Do you remember those?
There was the SIG P-238.
Right.
There was a CAR
P-380.
And Ruger, which I think I only shot one or two bullets out of.
Right, the LCP. So we had the SIG P-238, the CAR P-380, and the Ruger LCP. And this particular gun store allows us to basically shoot 10 rounds of each for a very good price. And as you might have heard from Dagny, she only shot a couple rounds of that LCP. Just wasn't for her. I'll let her finish that, but sorry. But the reason I bring that up is we got a chance to use 30 rounds, essentially 28 rounds in two firearms. So I'll let her talk about, let's talk back up a little bit and let's talk about your emotions leading up to the event. Were you nervous?
I was nervous. I was kind of... Part of the nerves stemmed from having not had a lot of experience other than this event last fall, you know, like 6 months ago almost. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it was that, you know, I remembered that I got a bullseye, and I'm kind of a perfectionist anyway, so I had this kind of, I want to do well, and it's been a long time, and these are going to be different calibers and different guns, and I handled it, that thing, so... kind of two-pronged nerves there, and then I just tried to keep my mind off of, you know, what I was going to go do after work so that I wouldn't get more nervous. And once we got to the range, I mean, it was fine. I didn't really know what I wanted to rent in the way of handguns, so I kind of let Al take care of that and figured he knows me enough, obviously, and the guns much better than I, to kind of make a pairing there with what might suit me.
I kind of picked guns that I thought that if we did end up buying and she ended up not liking, I could use them as a backup or as a secondary CCW weapon. So I did have ulterior motives in the choices I made. But in my defense, I think these are, with the exception of the Smith & Wesson bodyguard that we could have rented, I think these three are pretty much the top 380s that you can find. My concern with picking a 9 or something bigger was that eventually I'd like Dagny to use this as a CCW weapon herself, and 380, if she can handle, would be just perfect, I think, for concealability. But let's talk more about your visit to the range with me yesterday. Do you remember how it all started, and why don't you just talk a little bit about us at the range and you sighting in your first few shots?
Well, I believe the Ruger was what I shot first,
mm-hmm.
with just one or two rounds in the magazine, and it was to back up, when we went up to the counter to check it out for the rental, the guy, when he was unloading the magazine and, you know, getting it set, he said, "Hold on to that one." So that didn't exactly make me excited to even try that one.
Yeah.
And he seemed to even be addressing my husband Al, not me. So I'm like, well, if he thinks that, you know, my big husband is going to have a hard time, what's he going to think little puny me is going to do with it? So I was a little leery, and I gave it a shot. No pun intended there. And I'm not even really sure. I think the biggest complaint I had was the sights. I mean, it was a tough kick, but it was very poor sights.
Yeah, it didn't even seem to be any kind of sight of that was worth...
There were no dots that I can remember on the sights to help
you. I think Ruger's theory on that is that you're basically going to be really close to whoever, and that you're going to be essentially point shooting at that point, basically meaning that you just aim it without aligning the sights. But yeah, the sights on the LCP were a little bit
disappointing to me.
Yeah. Denon, the SIG P238.
That was actually, we had gone around to some various stores in the area looking at different guns, and that was probably my favorite going in. I was excited to shoot it, and
your favorite based on
the feel when I held it. I didn't do any dry firing when we went looking, which is another issue with the long trigger pulls that all of these guns had, but just the feel. I have a tendency to not like how unbalanced the guns feel, these small guns in particular that have the metal slides, but then they're polymer at the bottom, and I don't know if the SIG is polymer or not, but it's bigger, it's got a bigger grip at least. When it's loaded, I guess it's not as noticeable, but to hold them empty in the stores, it felt very top-heavy and unmanageable. I don't know if that's the right word, but...
Yeah, and the one that we rented actually had a laser, but... To Dagny's credit, she never used that laser in her practice.
Nah, I need to know what I can do without any assistance or cheating. So the SIG, I was very excited to shoot. And then the car, one of the stores that we had gone... Those are our cats fighting in the background.
I don't know if you can hear them, but yeah.
They're
playing.
The car... one of the other stores had said that they had stopped carrying because of problems, I guess, from the factory. They'd had to send a couple models back 2 or 3, 4 times.
Yeah, what they said was that they had to send a particular firearm back to the factory 4 times, and it still hadn't solved the problem. So that store's policy was not to carry car arms anymore.
And I had...
knowing how biased some gun stores can be to certain brands, and just reading a lot of good things about Carr, I definitely wanted her to at least give it a whirl. 10 rounds, you know, wouldn't have been the end of the world if it was good or bad.
And so that was one that I wasn't sure I wanted to rent after what the other store had said.
Right.
And Al, of course, talked me into it. He picked the three guns, and I gave it a go, whether I really wanted to or not, which was all for the best in the end. So we got in there, and I'd already said that I attempted the Ruger just right off the bat. I guess, get that out of the way if it's not going to be pleasant. Start on that foot and not waste time or wait until it's, the end and I'm more tired from gripping and stuff.
It seemed like you ruled out the Ruger immediately, so we kind of just narrowed it down to the SIG and the Kar in terms of your early favorites.
And I don't remember which I shot next, the SIG or the Kar, and then I just kept hopping back and forth between the two. I'd put like four or five in one magazine and do that, and then I'd switch to the other one. And I mean, they each had their quirks. Al has his CPL or his CCW or whatever, and so he could have purchased something if I had really liked something last night. And they word on the street was that they would even apply the rental fees towards the purchase, so he was really rooting,
I was hoping we'd walk home with something.
And there was no clear winner at the end of all of it last night.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the pros and cons. The SIG P238 had a little bit of problems, sounded like, it looked like, failures to feed.
Yeah, repeatedly. I mean, I don't know how many. I felt like it was every other bullet when I had, the magazine ready to go. I'd get one round off and then it wouldn't chamber properly. I'd pull the trigger and nothing would happen. And I don't know that much, so that made me really panicky the first few times it happened. Then I was just annoyed. I'd turn around and be like, it did it again. Like, I don't, this is a joke. I was so excited about this gun and now. I kept trying. I kept thinking maybe it's my form, maybe I have limp wrists or something, but I felt like, I'm no expert, but I was hitting the target. I wasn't really limp wristed. I felt like it was not necessarily me.
When the SIG fired, it was very accurate. We'll give it that much credit. It was hitting to point of aim, and it looked like I'd say 70% of her shots were going in the red bullseye. So, yeah, that SIG I was kind of rooting for quietly because it is a baby 1911 in many ways, with the external safety and just the adjustable grips and exchangeable grips or whatever you want to call it. But it didn't work. I don't know if it was.
It really disappointed me. Actually, I do know that the SIG was the first gun I tried after the Ruger because I had the problem with it chambering, and my first thought, because I don't have so much experience, was that I was doing something wrong. And to the gun's credit, I wasn't necessarily using perfect form. I was trying to pull the trigger quickly and I slowed down and kept my sights better, and I started hitting the target more consistently the longer I was shooting, but it misfed right away the first or second time I shot.
Are there any things that you enjoyed about the SIG?
Really good sights, a little bit more heft. I can't really remember recoil comparisons, quite honestly.
It sounded like, though, overall, the recoil was the 380 caliber was very manageable for you.
Yeah, I think my biggest problem was anticipating what the recoil was going to be with that long trigger pull. That was part of my problem in the beginning, was that I was off the mark because I would pull the gun down when I thought it was going to go off. And of course, then when I started to slow down and stop trying to anticipate, I started doing really well. The bullseye's actually, or the
She
target itself, is really impressive. I was proud of
had a
myself,
better target than me, folks, and
but.
that's not saying much, but I was very, very happy to see how great she was shooting, particularly because she did kind of get frustrated early on, but
Yeah, I don't know if there's any lady listeners. I was ready to quit. I mean, I wasn't crying, and I didn't, there's all these men. I think I was the only woman on our side for a while, and I was trying to not get emotional about it, but I just, it's a big step for me because when Al got his gun, I was not quite ready for it to be in the house, and for me to come this far, it's been about a year, I guess, and I was really disappointed in myself. at first, and I wanted to just let Al take the rest of the lane time, and if he wanted to play with the 380s, he could. But he didn't hear me. We both had our, ear protection on, and he didn't know that I was saying I didn't want to be doing it anymore, so I just bucked up and kept going, and.
I could tell she was very frustrated, but I never heard her say that she wanted to stop, so I just kept going with the flow. And I'm glad we both I think that worked out for a reason, because she ended up doing really, really well, and I think that just became a matter of just getting good form and relaxing. I think maybe you built it up a little and got a little nervous, and she had an expectation that as a beginning shooter she would be able to put shots on target immediately. And I tried to tell her in the range that the guys that I normally shoot with, when they started out, they weren't hitting the target. And as she said earlier, she has much higher expectations for herself. So those first few rounds weren't on the bullseye, and a few were off target. And those were the only shots, those first few that were off target for her after she got into a groove. My mistake was early on I put one round into each gun and let her try it that way. So we'd put one bullet in the Ruger, one bullet in the Kar, one bullet in the SIG, and then kind of cycle it that way. And that was not the proper way to do it, I don't think. I didn't let her get into a groove with any firearm, so it was not a good way to bolster her confidence. So, but lesson learned, and I'm glad it ended well, I think. And we can just move on now, I think, to the Kar P380, which I think we both agree was the winner, maybe not the winner to own, but definitely of the three, the one that performed the best. But there was one particular quirk to that firearm. Maybe you can talk
Yeah,
about.
the SIG's quirk was that it was misfeeding the cars, was that when the extractor was pushing the empty shells out, they were coming straight back and hitting me like dead in the center of my forehead. And I guess to my credit, from the ladies' event I had been to, and I was anticipating this, that it could happen, and I wasn't really concerned. I didn't say anything when it was happening, and I turned around after I finished one magazine, and Al said, "Are they hitting you?" He was laughing. I had, smudge marks on my
She had
forehead.
smudge marks on her in the middle of her forehead, but I had to ask her about it, because in her mind she expected such things. And one of the people that we went with, another lady, she mentioned that it happened before, and that it ruined her time, and she stopped because they kept hitting her in the forehead. But Dagny, to her credit, I think, just kind of thought it was part of the experience to get smacked in the forehead.
I think some small way I also felt like just blowing that off was a way to redeem myself from having gotten so flustered earlier. Like, yeah, whatever, I'm an old pro at this, even though I wasn't. So, I mean, the car was accurate. It was, the sights are smaller than the SIG. They're more, contoured, not as boxy. Not as small or anything like the Ruger. I'd say they're the middle of the road between all the three sights of the guns. It didn't have any external safety, which if I were to carry, that might worry me. I mean, I know that, the trigger guard and the long pull and, using your head, all of those things are safeties. It's just a different level of comfort I think you'd have to be to. I don't know, Al, if you would, carry unlocked. You don't. I think you carry locked, even though nothing's chambered. So it's a tough
Well, I'm
decision.
gonna catch a lot of heat for this from my more experienced shooters and listeners, if I have any. But I currently carry it in, I believe it's called Condition 3, which for 1911 owners, they know that that means full magazine, no round in the chamber, hammer down. And I know Tom Grisham of Gun Talk believes that that's carrying your gun unarmed, unloaded. But for me, in the appendix carry position, it makes me a little bit nervous to have a locked and loaded firearm. And I know that that's an unsubstantiated and an irrational concern, because I know locked and loaded with a round in the chamber, condition one, is safe, and a lot of people carry it in that condition, and a lot of people say that's the only way to carry a 1911. I'm working my way up to it. That's all I can say, guys and ladies. That's a little bit of honesty from me. I hope.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot
No,
there. I
no,
just
it's something that I wanted to talk to about anyways, and no better time than the present. So, that was. Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
But you mentioned the long trigger pulls. Did that car have the longest one, you think? And can you explain how it felt as you were drawing that trigger finger back?
Sure, there's I've dry fired my husband's 1911 and really like that trigger pull. If you've never done, it's a very short pull, and it's got the two safeties, so I mean you've got to be really gripping it and ready to go anyway. With the car, these other guns didn't. Well, I mean the SIG has the regular, like, what is it called, the slide safety. The car has nothing, and so I mean that is the main safety, and it's a really longer than the 1911 pull to begin. It's a much smoother, softer, you need less pressure to pull it, and then you hit that point where I guess because I'm not experienced, I knew it was going to be a long pull, but it just felt like, all right, this is it, you know, it's going to go off, and then it starts round two of the pull, and I feel like with the car, it almost had like a third step there.
So as you're pulling that trigger finger back towards you, you're starting to feel more resistance
Yeah, and I
and then
kept
more
thinking that it
resistance.
was going to go off, and I would anticipate it and kind of draw the gun, you know, down a little, and it wouldn't go off, or I would draw down on the gun a little bit, and then it would go off later than I anticipated, which is when I was initially, you know, really off the mark there. You get used to it by the end of the night. I mean, like Al said, I was pretty consistent. I think I ended on the car with a full magazine, and I mean, they were all pretty much in the red and clustered. So, just.
She had a good grouping. Well, what went right on the shots that you fired accurately, you think?
From the ladies' event that I went to, I learned a lot and I had to just regroup. I was so nervous. I can't even express how nervous I was to go because, at least at this other event I went to in the fall, it was primarily women. It was taught primarily by women and it was beginners. There was no expectation. There was, well, I want to say close to 2 hours of instruction, and not just don't be dumb and don't do this. It was, these are the parts of a revolver, these are the parts of a pistol, and this is what you never do, and why, and how these guns work, you know. And that is what I think gave me confidence. And you know, I hit that point where I wanted to quit last night, but I regrouped, you know. Al, I think when I got flustered, he didn't know I wanted to quit, but he kind of moved his, he'd fired a couple magazines from his 1911 before I stepped up, and you know, he kind of cleared the area a little bit and uncluttered it. And in that time, you know, I regrouped, and when I went back up to the lane, I thought, you know, what am I doing? You know, I need to have the right stance. I remember the first few times I fired, I'd been leaning away from the target. I needed to, you know, bend my knees and lean into it and be loose. I mean, firm, but you know, have some give in my knees and lean into it for the recoil. And I wasn't gripping 100% with both hands. I was doing isosceles, I believe, is the stance I was using. I don't have much upper body strength or anything, so I needed to, you know, make full use of everything I had. And I was trying to pull the trigger all at once, and I mean, a couple of problems. I mean, when I would grip the guns as hard as I needed to maintain the control, my hands would shake and I would lose my sights. But also, if I tried to pull too fast, you lose your sights. And then I guess I didn't even think of it at the time. The guns are so small. I mean, a little bit of movement is going to give you a lot of variation in
Yeah.
your aim. So once I just started, I had to slow down. I mean,
Shame on me, I didn't prepare her at all with any kind of instructions. I felt that beforehand I should just let her be, and to her credit again, she kind of remembered all the lessons learned from 6 months ago now, and really, it seemed like really reevaluated her form and her fundamentals in shooting, and its elementary foundation is very simple. It's very simple. It starts with your legs and your stance, and then your grip, and then it's a sight picture, and everything begins and ends with that trigger control. So it seemed to me that once you got your form down, you got your grip down, and then you got your sight picture down, and then your trigger control down, and the rest was history, you know.
I think towards the end, I was pulling the trigger quicker in between rounds, being able to come back into the sights easier. I wasn't so far off. What I noticed, and I don't know why it surprises me, but the sound, the volume in the indoor range is so much louder than what the ladies' event was, an outdoor event. And all I had in were like the little foam earplugs, and at the range I had the foam with the like headphone kind of looking on top, and it was still loud. And I think it was really hard to focus being in such close quarters with the echo. It echoes. I mean, on top of being really loud, it echoes with all those different guns, like the volleys of fire going off. It was really hard to not lose track of where I was in my trigger pull when all the other shots were going off. And I was finally getting into a groove towards the end of the night, and yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it, and if I'd had to walk away with a gun last night, I think I would have gone with the car, because if the intent is to carry, the intent is for defense, regardless of the intent to carry it concealed. The SIG just didn't have the reliability, and I would never want to assume that the issues that I had with that particular gun at the range last night was something unique to that one gun. You know, you need that reliability. The car was very reliable. It just was spitting the cartridges back at me, and I think that that's probably something that, one, it didn't hurt me at all. It's annoying, but it didn't affect the reliability. You know, all the shots went off, and
It seemed like
that's the key.
you had to clear a few failures to eject, and you did that, I thought, with remarkable, I guess the word would be nonchalance. You know, you just kind of, I remember you'd show me it and then just kind of swat it away, and that's exactly what you were supposed to do, is you just kept swatting it away, and then went right back at it. You know, you just shot it, you'd show me the failure to eject, swat it, shoot, show it to me again, swat it, and then I think that may have been, since that happened towards the end, I kind of m perhaps attributed it to maybe fatigue on your part, maybe, for I don't know. It's just
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I don't know. It didn't cause misfeeds, by the way. I don't know if that's something that does happen if the thing doesn't eject properly, if the next bullet misfeeds, but
I just think the extractor. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing. This is just a rookie guessing, but with the extractor coming right back at you at your forehead, it seems like there was something wrong with it to begin with, and maybe it needed to be tuned or whatever the term is to get it to shoot out, eject those empty casings a lot further and to your right rather than straight back. But all in all, did you have a good time?
yeah, I had a good time. I had a pretty good time.
That's good. Yeah, it's. I've been to that range a lot, and the times that Dagny has come with me, she's pretty much had to watch. And this was the first time I really got her. We'd planned it. We went with some family friends, and we'd planned it for a month now, and so it was a good time, and it was a good opportunity, I think.
Yeah, no time there for my nerves to build, people. No
Right.
pressure.
And then, yeah, we even had one person who was just watching us. And so we did have an audience. One of our friends didn't shoot, so she just watched us, which probably only added to her pressure. But let's talk a little bit towards the end of this podcast, episode three, about CCW, since that's presumably the theme. And are you thinking about getting your permit?
I am. I think the class itself would be great practice, just to become more familiar with whatever weapon I end up landing on. And ultimately, you're your own keeper kind of thing. I mean, even if we're out shopping together, he can't follow me into the restroom, and who knows who's lurking in the, you can't predict when you are going to need it. And it's, in very Murphy's Law, it's going to be when you're not ready. So, I mean, I think it's the natural progression that you get it and then you carry it, or you get the permit and then you get to that comfort level where you are always carrying it. You can't assume that running around the corner to the grocery store in your own safe neighborhood is going to be always safe.
That's right, and that's a really big, I guess, rule or mandate in the CCW club, I guess, is that once you do get your permit, you use it. You know, there's no occasion like the present to carry, unless, of course, the law tells you that you shouldn't or you cannot. Obviously, don't want you breaking the law, people. But this has been, I think, my best podcast by far, and it has nothing to do with me. So, thank you, Dagny, my lovely wife, for enlightening me, and hopefully some readers or listeners. I keep saying readers and viewers. That's bad. This is an audio podcast. No one can see us. And but do you have any last words? Not last words, I guess, parting words. I'm hoping that you'll appear on the podcast in the future as you go through the CCW permit process. And whenever you want to join, obviously. This has
Yeah,
been.
I would be glad to. I was nervous to do the shoot last night, and I was nervous to do the podcast tonight, but if anybody out there is enjoying the insight from a woman's perspective, whether you're a man or a woman, or a woman who's afraid of guns, I was there, just over a year ago. I was, in the camp that, maybe there needed to be more gun control or something. I mean, it doesn't necessarily take a specific event personal to you. It's just taking inventory of where you are in life. We just got married and we're wanting to start a family, and even if I don't become a stay-at-home mom when that happens, I'll be on maternity leave with a newborn alone at home. So these are very real concerns for me, and I'm sure I'm not the only woman out there.
She'll be home alone with really large weapons, people. I wouldn't try it.
Yeah, stay away.
Okay. Well, on that note, after threatening the audience, just a reminder that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me or Dagny at ccwpodcast@gmail.com. This has been episode three. I'm not sure what I'll call it, but it's basically my wife's experiences at the range, and I hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned.
Yep, thanks a lot, everybody.